theme of my sermon is prayer and the scripture. So I would like to start my sermon by simple questions. So how long have you prayed for one thing? The longest one. How long have you prayed for one thing? So Sugar, so how long have you prayed for just one thing? Really you want most?
Still praying.
For what? For what? For what?
I don't know, just for...
Husband?
Yeah. Just safety for everyone.
Okay, safety for everyone. Thank you. Thank you. And Jackie, how about you?
I'm still praying for one thing.
One thing. So can you share?
I don't wish to share it.
Okay, no worries, yeah.
It's a family issue.
Okay. Alright. Thank you, Jackie. And how about Loina? So how long have you waited? How long have you prayed for one thing? You most wanted. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you. So for me, I think I prayed when my wife was pregnant. So, but the trouble is, the doctor said your baby is some trouble. So it's Down syndrome. So if you want, you can divorce. Not divorce. What's that?
Abort.
Yeah, you can do that. So very high percentage, Jane, he said your baby has a really high percentage Down syndrome. So if you want, you can. So but at the time, I really prayed hard every morning for 6 or 7 months. So at the time, my prayer was for yeah, I don't mind if she is Down syndrome or not. I don't mind. That's your gift. So I'll care her all my life. Yeah, but yes, luckily she's not Down syndrome. So now she's very growing healthy. So I always thank God. Always. Even though she's sometimes angry for me, she's upset, but she's just lovely. Yeah, she's a gift from God. So how long have you prayed for one thing? Days, or weeks, or months, maybe even years? And more importantly, did you get an answer from God? These questions touch something deep in our hearts. We all have prayers we've repeated over and over. We all know what it feels like to wait for God's answer. So today's passage from Luke tells us about a widow who wouldn't give up. She had a grievance. She needed justice. And there was a judge who didn't care about God or people. But this widow kept coming back again and again, asking for justice. And finally, the judge gave in. Not because he was a good man, not because he cared about her, but because she refused to stop asking and asking. Jesus tells this story to teach us about prayer. He wants us to understand something important. We must keep praying and never give up. We must keep praying and never give up. But here's what we need to understand. This is not just about getting what we want, such as lottery. It's about something much deeper. It's about faith. Last week, we heard about 10 lepers who were healed. All 10 had their prayers answered. all 10 got what they asked for. But only one came back to thank Jesus. Only one understood what had really happened. Only one had his soul saved. You see, getting your prayers answered doesn't automatically mean you have great faith. 9 out of 10 lepers forgot to give thanks even though their prayers were answered. So what made the widow different? What kept her going back to the judge day after day? I think she believed that one day justice would come. Even when she was rejected, even when it seemed hopeless, she held on to faith that her request would eventually be granted. Without that faith, she would have given up long ago. Without that faith, the justice she sought would never have been granted. If you have experienced answered prayer before, you know what this feels like. It builds your faith. It gives you strength to keep praying. Each answered prayer becomes a foundation for the next prayer. So now let's turn to our second passage, the 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy about the Bible and its purpose. In ancient times, people learned everything through the scriptures, morality, wisdom, and how to live. The church or temple and priests taught these things, not schools or governments. Many of the moral principles we still value today come from the Bible. Today, we may interpret and apply the Bible differently, and that's okay. But in every church, every single church, the Bible holds an absolute position as God's word. In verse 17, Paul tells us why. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose of Scripture is clear. It equips us for good works. It prepares us. It makes us ready. And also in verse 15, Paul says the scripture, he said, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? Through faith. You can read the Bible every day. You can memorize entire chapters. You can know all the stories. But without faith, it's just another book. Without faith, it becomes only moral teachings, philosophical wisdom, or ancient history. But with faith, the same book becomes something entirely different. With faith, it becomes a book that perfects you, equips you, for good works and lead you to salvation. So what connects these two passages? What do prayer and the Bible have in common? It's faith. The widow prayed persistently because of faith. Timothy was to read and teach scripture in faith. Even if we pray the same prayer as someone else, the results will differ depending on our faith. Even if you read the same Bible as someone else, what we receive from it will differ depending on our faith. Because faith motivates actions such as persistent prayer and good deeds. Your ability to recognize God's response and express thankfulness stems from your faith, much like how only one of the 10 healed lepers came back to thank Jesus. So faith is what transforms everything. Faith turns desperate prayers into persistent hope. Faith turns ancient words into living truths in our world. Faith turns waiting into trust. While composing this sermon, I found myself thinking about our new members and also existing members and reflecting on the essence of our faith community. Some of you have joined our church family. Others are wondering that what that means. Let me tell you what it means to join a church. It means joining a community of faith. It means joining people who, like that widow, keep praying even when answers seem far away. It means joining people who, like Timothy, study God's word not just for knowledge, but for transformation. It means choosing to grow in faith together through prayers answered and prayers still waiting. Through scriptures, read and scripture, lived. Prayer and Bible study are vast topics. We could talk about them forever. They are things we should practice and study throughout our entire lives. But we don't do these things alone. We do them in community. We do them together. We encourage each other when our faith weakens. We celebrate with each other when prayers are answered. We learn from each other as we study God's word together. So you don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. If you have joined our church, you are joining a family of faith, a place where your persistent prayers are supported by others who pray with you, a place where the Bible comes alive as we study and live it together. Whether you have been praying for something for one day or 10 years, whether you have just opened the Bible for the first time or you have read it cover to cover, what matters is faith. And faith grows best in a community. So I'll ask you again, how long have you prayed for one thing? And did you get an answer from God? Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep studying God's word. And don't do it alone. Join us. Join this community of faith. Together, we will keep praying and never give up. Together, we will let God's word equip us for every good work. May your faith grow stronger every day, and may you find your place in this family of believers. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, strengthen our faith as we pray and as we read your word. Help us to persist like the widow, trusting in your perfect timing. Throw those seeking a church home into our community of faith. Equip us all for good works through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.